I've got a gold nugget I want to start us off with. I found it in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 3. These are words that God told Zechariah to tell Zerubbabel. Tell him, God says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. These were words that were to be quoted to a man with a mission. God wanted Zerubbabel to know that it would be by the Spirit of God that he would be able to accomplish his work. And so it is today. When God has laid out a work for us to do, whether it be teaching or preaching or testifying or giving biblical advice to a friend or neighbor, we need the anointing of the Spirit. There is a difference between inspiration and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Men sometimes feel inspiration. Artists are inspired to paint, writers to write, and politicians are inspired to wax warm on their favorite themes. It is likely that some men preach, and preach quite well, in human terms, solely from human inspiration. But inspiration is not necessarily the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can also inspire. Those who speak under the anointing are most assuredly inspired. Most of us have our favorite types of preachers, as did the New Testament believers, as recorded in Corinthians. We enjoy listening to some speakers more than others. Some speakers are more logical, some more easily understood, some more pleasing in terms of voice or style. But we ought not to confuse human attributes or talents with the anointing of God's Spirit. Many popular speakers today are loud and boisterous. Yet God may choose as well to anoint people who are of a quieter disposition. There is, and there will always remain, something mysterious and miraculous about the anointed speaker. Under the anointing, speakers often act beyond themselves. There are times when a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or revelations comes to a person right out of heaven. Don't we all want that anointing? Even if we're just giving our neighbors good, sound advice, we need that inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It's for everybody. You can have it. The Bible says that Jesus gives the Holy Ghost to them that ask him, to them that obey him. It's for you. It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair. In these lessons this week, we are talking about Gideon. The Gideon that Paul mentioned in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. The Gideon that Paul did not have the time to tell us about. Parts of last week and parts of this week, we're going to learn more about Gideon. If you'll turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 6, you'll find a picture of a nation that was at one time respected, feared even, a nation of prosperity and wealth, a nation where people worshiped God and God was among them, a nation that went from prosperity to poverty, and it was all because of sin, a nation that, when they prospered, forgot about God. When they prospered, they got heady, high-minded, stiff-necked, and felt that They no longer needed the laws of God in order to govern them. A nation that at one time was the envy of the world. The whole world knew that they had found favor with God. Other nations respected them. Other nations feared them. They began to worship as the other nations worshiped. They became no more than an ordinary nation. Being an ordinary nation was a long ways from what God had planned for them. You remember in Genesis chapter 46, when Joseph sent for his father and all of his family to come down to Egypt in order that they may be saved from the famine. On the way down, Jacob prayed, and God came to him and says, "Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of you a great nation." God told Jacob, "Have no fear going down to Egypt, because in Egypt, in bondage, in slavery, I will make you a great nation." Psalms 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whom God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." This nation of Israel had become a nation that obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, nor received correction. Truth had perished and was cut off from their mouth. Sin was indeed a reproach to this nation. This is not what God's plan was for them. A nation who had forgotten God. It became a nation that was given over totally to idolatry. A wretched nation. And when they were enslaved by one of their neighboring nations, they cried to God. Even though they were stooped in idolatry, God was not at a loss to find his servant. A strong man. A hero. A hero in hiding. Helpless. A hero that was a skeptic regarding God's intervention. God sent his messenger to a hero in hiding named Gideon, thrashing wheat. And this is exactly where the messenger of God found him. He addressed Gideon as a mighty man of valor and told him that God was with him and told him to go in your might, and you shall save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And Gideon's reply was, "Wherewith shall I save Israel? Or what with? Or with what shall I save Israel? My family is poor, and I am the least in my father's house. I don't have the wealth to marshal an army. I don't have the wealth to buy the weapons of warfare." But what Gideon did not know, that God was the wherewith that he would save Israel. Gideon was only to go forward and trust God, and God, through his power, would win the battle. It wasn't going to be accomplished with what Gideon had. It was going to be accomplished by the God of Gideon. God brought Gideon into a place that he was no longer a skeptic. God proved himself to Gideon. In verse 16, the Lord says, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man." And Gideon, in his humility and wanting to do only what he was sure that God had told him to do, said, "If I have found grace in your sight, show me a sign that you talk with me." Isn't that what most of us want today? When we feel the urge of the Spirit to do a specific work for God, don't we want to know for sure that it is a God-given urge and not just a hunch that we have? Friend, you cannot operate in the kingdom of God on a hunch. You've got to know, thus saith the Lord. And once you know that God has told you, you can step forward boldly. Knowing that God is with you is the thing by which the saints have often been strengthened with all might in the inner man. This confidence that God has called you lifts up the heroes, is the lifter up of the reformers, the men who have shaken kingdoms for the glory of God. Let me slow down here just a moment and say that the sign that Gideon asked for is altogether different from the hypocrites of Christ's time, who required a sign, but no sign shall be given them save the sign of the prophet Jonah. They had signs enough already, but had no spiritual perception. This request from Gideon was a request from the heart of a man who was honest and sincere, who wanted only to do the will of God. Friend, if you would ask God for a sign with a sincere and honest heart, wanting only to do His will, the sign will appear. Almost all earnest service is accomplished by a sign of divine blessings. We are encouraged to look for them. Their absence ought to cause concern. I'm going to end the lesson right here, but tomorrow I'll be back on the same subject of Gideon and how that God changed this man, a one-time skeptic, into a man that fully trusted God.